Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be ministering right here on WMAF. You've just heard wonderful music. Now we want to take you into a message from the Word of God that we believe is one of the most crucial, critical, vital messages for the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's every Bible-believing child of God today. So that includes you today. Praise the Lord. This is not some pet doctrine of a denomination. This is a truth for all Christendom. And we want you to just get involved with us in the message of hope from the Word of God today. Praise God. If you're listening on the World Wide Web, we invite you to stay tuned. If you're listening right there in Madison to your hometown radio station, we are so glad to be part of the broadcast family of WMAF. And we hope that you're glad that you're part of the listening family of this station. And we pray you'll stay tuned for this broadcast today. Praise the Lord. If you pick up your paper, if you turn on your television to any one of the news outlets, you're not going to hear anything that gives you hope. The place you're going to find hope in a fallen world in the end times or the last days is the Word of God. And the Word of God is very, very clear that we can live our life filled with the anticipation of future good, even though we live in a fallen world in the times the Bible described as perilous times. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own self. And out of that gnarly, ugly old trunk of this tree, if you could just visualize a tree with a trunk called self-love and self-indulgence, comes all of these branches out of that heady, high-minded, unholy, unthankful, prideful, truce-breakers, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This tree of evil characteristics is all coming from this trunk of self-love and self-indulgence. So today we are called to follow Jesus in a world that is so self-indulgent that it is creating such evil, and people do such wicked things. And when they are conscienceless concerning others and only conscious of their own pain or disappointment, and they take out their angst and their anger on others. And we see this on a daily basis. And it's not an aberration anymore. It's an aberration. It's something that has become commonplace in our society, of someone killing innocent people and then taking their own life because they have no regard for anyone but themselves, no regard for the pain that they're going to inflict on so many. Listen to me today. This is a sign. The things we are seeing is a sign that we are in the last of the last days. Jesus' coming is very, very near. And it is the message of hope when everything else looks and seems so hopeless. And how we need this vital message in the Church of Jesus Christ. And listen, how the world needs to hear this message. Jesus is coming soon. You know, we talked last week in 1 Corinthians 11:26 about a communion service, something that we do in our church services, there's different times for this service, but it is one of those things that we are to continue to practice, to not only look back to the cross, but to look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. God wanted that message of His soon coming to be the message that comforts us, encourages us, and gives us hope no matter what other circumstance we may be facing. And that message is to be married with the preaching of the cross, is the preaching of the coming. And we don't see it any more clearly than in the communion service, because the communion service looks back to the cross, forward to the coming. While we declare what Jesus has done for us at Mount Calvary, we declare that He's coming for us and going to take us, whether we're alive or whether we have passed away. When Jesus comes, our bodies are going to be brought from the ground. And if we're alive when he comes, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie, but friend, it is not. God's literally going to beam us up, praise the Lord. And we're just so excited about declaring that message to this generation. I pray you'll stay tuned today for this broadcast about the coming of Jesus Christ. Let me read the scripture out of 1 Corinthians that is a really ending the instructions on receiving Holy Communion, which is about His blood, His shed blood, and His broken body at the cross. But it doesn't just look back to the cross. Listen, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I love the Amplified. We read it last week to begin this series. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death till he comes again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the things that we need to clearly understand is that Jesus is not only coming again, but he is coming soon. Let me read something that I believe is so vital to this. The remembrance of the Lord's death revives in us the hope of his return, someone said. Since he commanded us to do this till he comes, the Lord assures us that he will come again to take us unto himself. Hence, as we commune with him now under the veil of these earthly elements, we are assured that we shall sometime behold him face to face and rejoice in the glory of his appearing. It is called a blessed hope if you are a Christian. Praise the Lord. The blessed hope. That's found in the book of Titus. Let me read that to you today. It says in verse 13 of chapter 2, Titus 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The coming of Christ for his bride, the church, is the consummation of the cross and the confirmation of his resurrection. On the cross, Christ purchased our redemption. When he comes again, he completes our redemption and claims his purchased possession. That's why it's not just looking back toward the cross where we're redeemed by his blood from sin's penalty. It's looking forward to his coming where we are redeemed from sin's presence and consequence. The two great themes that are at the core of the Christian hope is the crucifixion with the resurrection and his coming to receive his church unto himself. The cross and the coming constitute the foundation of all Christian hope. Let me read this from Hebrews 9:28 in review this week. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There's looking back to the cross, forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Let me read it from the Amplified. I love this. Even so it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon himself and bear as a burden the sins of many once and for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin nor to deal with sin, but to bring full salvation to those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting him. Praise God. This great hope conquers death. It overcomes man's greatest enemy. Praise the Lord. It is therefore a blessed hope. Hallelujah. And not only is it a blessed hope, it is a purifying hope. Let me read to you what Dr. Campbell Morgan said. He said, I never lay my head upon the pillow without thinking that before morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that today he may interrupt my work and begin his own. We are not looking for death, We are looking for Him. Praise the Lord. It is therefore a purifying hope. In the light of His coming and response to His love, we purify ourselves. Listen to 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man, listen, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. John says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. It is a blessed hope, and it is a purifying hope. R.A. Torrey said this about that scripture I just read you. He said, that is a natural result of belief in Christ at any moment coming. If to love the Lord's appearing led to careless living, to coldness of heart toward God and the saving of men, one could understand why some Christians would not love it. But when this truth helps us live a separated life, And an earnestness, and adds an earnestness to our prayers, an urgency to our preaching, and keeps our passion for souls warm and alive, then love for this truth and for its effect, and marvel that any Christian would not fervently love it, is so vitally important. Praise the Lord. We keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We wear the wedding garment of righteousness. We stand ready for our Lord's return. Communion is a time to search ourselves, isn't it? A time to confess and repent of any known sin. A time to cultivate a heightened awareness that we are the called out ones. And we are to live out our faith by following Christ. And we are to live in holy anticipation of His soon coming. Literally, live our life in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ and our gathering to Him. Praise the Lord. If we're truly prepared, therefore, for Holy Communion, we're truly prepared for the Lord's coming. I'm afraid that we've turned Holy Communion into just a ritual instead of what it truly is. And that is something that should prepare us and put us in the position of being sanctified unto God in our daily life. There's a scripture that we read earlier in Titus. We read the 13th verse. I want to go back and pick up 11 and 12 and put that 13th verse in context, because the purifying hope and the blessing hope are one and the same. Listen to this. For the grace of God, Titus 2, 11 through 13, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the blessed hope and the purifying hope are married together in one great hope. If you're hoping that the Lord will return, then you are living in the light of His soon return. And if you're living in the light of His soon return, then we're living our life differently than this world about us. There's a scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 4. And I want to just touch this today. Amen. It said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, and set where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above and not on the things of this world. And verse 4 begins by saying, and mortify your members upon the earth. I believe that the message of the soon coming of Jesus is going to bring a purifying message to the church of Jesus Christ and to the Christian. You know, we're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, not just churchgoers, but people who literally follow Jesus Christ's example. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as Jesus Christ." We're called to walk literally even as He walked. And one of the things that will stimulate us to want to live out our faith, and that's one of the great needs in the church, I believe, today, is to live out our faith. Not to just preach it and talk about it, but to flesh it out, to live it out in our daily life. And that is that Jesus is coming soon. And we should live our life in the light of His soon coming. I really believe we ought to travel light. I don't believe we should be so bound to this world and so bound to this earth. I believe we should be lifting up our heads. You know, the Bible said that all the signs of the last day would be negative signs. What is happening and what is going to happen in this world as it progressively becomes more evil, more wicked, it's almost like the whole world and nature begins to react of the wickedness. I'm amazed to live in a day when the schools and the universities in America have become God-free zones. It is astounding that I would live to see a day in this country, in America, where courthouses cannot have the rule of God for all mankind to live by the Ten Commandments, that they have to be removed. I remember in Alabama when they, or it was Mississippi, one or the other, when they literally put a canvas over a granite a representation of the Ten Commandments on granite, and until they could get it on and roll it out of the courthouse, they put a tarpaulin over it. There is a cross at a veterans memorial that has been in the news recently, and they built a plywood box to cover the cross until they could get it legally removed. It's an amazing today when a manger scene in the town square is declared illegal. What a day that we're living in. And then we wonder why the wickedness. We're trying to figure out why people do such despicable, dastardly deeds. We wonder what is going on in their psyche. We don't understand the darkness that fills all of these voids and vacancies. When light is pushed back, we have the darkness rush in. Listen, friend, we're living in crucial, critical days. I don't know about you, but I want to hear the message that God's Word has to give us hope in days like these. There is a message of hope, but it is not found in the pop psychology of our day. The Dr. Phils and the Oprahs can't give us hope. But Jesus can and does give us hope. One of the things that He promised is, when He left, literally not left the Christians, He said, "I'm with you always." He sent back the Holy Spirit. Amen. And through Him, He mediates the presence of Christ with us. Oh, hallelujah. But when Jesus ascended, He said something before He ascended that is so important. He said, literally, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you another Comforter, and He will be with you, and He will be in you, and He will abide with you forever. Praise God. He said, through the Holy Spirit, abiding presence within us, the presence of Jesus, the person of Jesus would be manifest to us. Oh, have you ever been in the service and just felt so close to God? Well, that's because God is so close to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is not leaving us. Orphanos is the Greek word, comfortless. And the words from the Scripture as well are to give us comfort in these times. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even death can't conquer this blessed hope. The Scripture said, "I would not have you," in 1 Corinthians, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are dead in Christ. Those that are asleep, the Bible said, which was the biblical term for the Christian, as it refers to what we would commonly call death. I would not have you ignorant concerning their circumstance. And he said, listen, for if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, those that are in Christ, he's going to bring with him. The Lord himself, he said, is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel at the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen to this next verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The coming of Jesus, the resurrection of the just. Every person who has ever died in Christ is going to be raised with Christ. Hallelujah. When he comes. Ah, remember that great old Christian anthem on that great getting up morning. Fare thee well. Fare thee well. Friend, there's a great getting up morning coming, and it's coming very, very soon. Before this world literally self-destructs, Jesus is coming for his bride. Jesus is coming for his church. Praise God. Friend, I don't know a more hopeful message, a more important message, a more blessed hope, a more purifying hope than the message of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that concerns me today is that I don't hear that message often enough by many, many ministers who have the platform to proclaim it, not only to us, but to give this message of hope to a world. And the world is primed and ready. I honestly believe the Holy Spirit has went before us to prepare the hearts for the planting of the seeds of the gospel. The gospel literally means good news. Praise the Lord. Remember the Christian camp meeting song we used to sing back in the day? I have good news to bring. That is why I sing. My joy with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. This is not wishful thinking. This is not holy hype. This is the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not looking to a hopeless end as believers in Jesus Christ. We are looking for an endless hope. We're not looking for a hole in the ground. We're looking for a hole in the sky. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a hope that even death can't conquer. And so the Bible said that these last days would be marked with all kinds of negative things. Some of the negative things would be that the church would begin to compromise the truth, and heresy would enter the church, and the church would become apostate. The Bible said that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, the Antichrist, come on the scene. It will be conditions that are the precursors for the Antichrist to step in onto the world scene, and large portions of the church will follow after him. Listen to this very, very carefully. We are living in those compromised, deceptive times right now. The falling away comes. That word falling away means in the Greek word, it was a word for divorce when someone had a covenant together and they broke that covenant and walked away from one another. There are so many today that name the name of Jesus that are breaking the covenant with the Word of God and breaking their covenant with the God of the Word. Ah, but these days demand that we stand true to the God of the Word. And we stand true to the Word of God. Because it's through the Word of God, uncompromised, that we have hope in the midst of these troubled times. As heartbreaking and heartrending as it is to see this coming to pass, it points to the fact that Jesus' coming is very, very soon. Praise the Lord. Listen carefully. The Bible said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. There would be distress of nations with perplexity. That literally means puzzlement. The greatest thinkers, the most educated men and women, will not be able to figure out the solutions to the complex problems that will face the nations of the world. And the Bible went on to say that there will be earthquakes. It's all in diverse places, the sea and the waves roaring, tsunamis. We have an increase in earthquake activity. Right now, we have an increase in the in tsunami activity, and it's always a threat somewhere in the world right this very moment. And it's coming in a frequency closer together than we've ever seen it come. We are in the last of the last days. The Bible said the last days would be days of great deception, that deceivers would go out and deceive many. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's that apostasy produced by false ministers and ministries. We're seeing this compromise today, this divorcing ourselves from the inerrancy and authority of the God of the Word and the Word of God. But there is another movement today. There are those who have made a deep commitment to follow Jesus even in these times. And yes, to follow Him more closely, because it's so crucial and so critical to our hope and our faith that we stay close to God so that He can keep us, praise God, that He can keep us with His power until the day of redemption. Well, here's the good news and all of this negativism of the last days that mark it. It marks it as the last days. And listen to what the Bible said. Jesus speaking, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's why every time we have a communion service, we are not just looking back to the cross. The message of the soon coming of Jesus is married to the message of the cross. When we preach the cross, we must declare as well that Christ is coming soon. Praise God. The cross so people can get saved, and the soon coming of Jesus so we can live in holy anticipation. This is the day to come out from the world and its value system. So much preaching is earthbound, and it's centered on the immediate needs of our life instead of the eternal blessings that are soon to come. And it keeps us as Christians earthbound instead of heavenbound. I believe God wants every child of His to be heavenbound today, to be lifting up our eyes, praise God, hallelujah, looking for that blessed hope, looking for the coming of Jesus Christ and our gathering unto Him. And I believe He wants you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, I believe He wants you filled with and looking for what the Bible calls this blessed hope. Oh, friend, today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you open your heart to Him? Would you right now ask Him to forgive every sin you've ever committed, to seal you with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, that if the trump of God sounded before this day is ended, that you would be caught up to meet Him in the air? You say, Brother Venable, that don't seem fair. There's nothing fair about grace. How could I be ready for His coming when I've committed so many sins? You can be ready for His coming because when you accept Jesus, your sins have already been judged in Him on the cross. And because of that cross and the One who hung on it in your place and mine, we can be forgiven every sin, sealed with the Holy Spirit, branded for salvation and redemption. And the final redemption, and the fullest of redemption, and the fulfillment of redemption, is when He comes, and all the dead shall rise, and we which are living will be caught up. That's where we get the word rapture, snatched away to be with the Lord forever. Oh, friend, don't miss the coming of Jesus Christ. Don't live another day without God and without hope in this present world. And if you're a Christian today, I want you to lift up your head, no matter what you hear on the news, what you see in the world or in your world. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. Live in the light of His soon coming, because your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, would you come back next week, friend, and let's talk about Jesus.